Hey again, Anchor. So today we're going to talk a little bit about a Hermetic work. Hermetics, they have a website that you could check out a bunch of PDFs of the Hermetic orders online. Some of them have free PDFs, like the whole entire essays are on there. So if you guys want to check some out to read it for yourself, go right ahead. They have tons, actually. And so if you Google that, that should come up for you. So when I went to grad school, I took a spiritual, a New Age spiritual and healing class with a Native American professor who was the head of the, I don't know if he's still working there, but he's the head of the research department at the time for graduate school for mental health and health for social work. And he taught, in this class, he taught numerous works, but as far as Hermetic works go, he taught one that was written in the year 1908 called The Kybalion. That's K-Y-B-A-L-I-O-N. And it was written by several initiates who remain anonymous. And, several initiates remain anonymous, and they have seven, I believe, principles. The first one, and these are very abstract, but try and understand why they're sort of a little vague and what kind of reality that's generating if you just sit with it and think about that. And, you know, no pressure and... you know, anything you think is okay, whether it's positive or negative. You could even write down different positive and negative thoughts on this. You could even see how you feel thinking about that, or if the reality is talking to you differently, or if you're receiving any kind of vision or sound. Some people sit with these and they see, you know, if they're picking up on anything. And some people like to meditate and just see if it does anything with them. So that's a helpful activity. Some people like, you know, a new meditation set. So this is one that you can do. So the first principle, I believe, is mentality. The principle of mentality. And these initiates believe that everything is mind. So our minds are very powerful. And no matter what kind of reality you're in, mind is always interacting with eternity. And everything that you can see or imagine or feel, it's all real. And we are very powerful manifestors. And we manifest a lot with our mind and what we think and our actions and what we do in waking life. And in dreaming life, it's sending us messages too. About something from another, trying to tell us, you know, a certain message, maybe, about how it thinks we're performing and manifesting what we see and what we feel and what we do. So, station of the mind. Mind is powerful. Okay, the second principle is, I believe, a principle of cause and effect. It's one of the principles. So everything that happens has a cause, and then has an effect. So everything we do has a reason, and then an outcome, and the outcome has a reason. So these are energies, right? They generate energies from them with our mind. So if you decide to walk one way, you see a bunch of things, and there might be a cause because you might have to get somewhere, let's say. So because of that, there's an outcome, you get somewhere, but you experiencing a certain walk. If you had to go somewhere else to get there, you'd experience a different walk, and you'd see different things and feel and think different things. So every cause has an outcome, and every outcome has a reason or a cause. Okay? Another principle is the vibration principle. And that is that everything, whether it's animate or inanimate, has a motion to it, since the universe is always moving. So everything has a vibrational frequency to it, whether it's alive or it's inanimate. And the higher level frequencies, sometimes they know how to calm the mind and have a lot integrated into and be able to understand a lot of things. If they reach a higher level vibration, if they don't have to think that much, but they understand a lot and they can stay calm. This is a much higher level vibration than somebody that's neurotic and always worried, always negating, always acting out. So those are two examples of, the one is more dense vibration, they say, and the other one's a higher level, you know, lighter vibration. Another principle is that of masculine and feminine. So that the masculine and feminine principle is that everything in the universe has both. It has a duality to both. And if you want to contemplate, you could sit endlessly contemplating this, what it is. And, you know, all interpretations are valid because people think and feel different things. So everything from the animate to the animate, to creative works, to nature, it all has a masculine and a feminine to it, and in it, like living in it even, breathing in it. And that might go back to the first principle of mentality and how our mind manifests reality, and we are, you know, manifestations also of reality in turn, and we're all creating reality together with our minds. Another principle is the principle of correspondence. This actually might be the second principle, but, you know, it's okay that they list. So the principle of correspondence is that there are different planes. There's a mental plane, there's a physical plane, and there's a spiritual plane. And these planes are all communicating to each other at all times. They're different sorts of grids, let's say. And within them, possibly different kinds of minds corresponding with different kinds of minds. And if you're of an integrated mind, you have all these minds corresponding with you. So you'd have the physical would be like, you know, observations on movement and how people that you encounter in life, how they move, how the tree moves when the wind hits it, how some guy or girl you like or don't like does something you don't like or don't like in their movement in the office, let's say. You think something's funny or annoying. These are certain physical, possibly beings in us, but it's also a certain kind of head and it's a certain plane of existence. So that's the physical in a certain way. The spiritual, you know, is more of a religious or occult nature, or of the, it's sometimes beyond words. And sort of in that higher level frequency with an integration, and there can be beings possibly in there that are all-knowing, that are really intelligent, that communicate with us silently and don't try and hurt us, and they're really not ungifted and with us at all times, no matter how positive or negative the reality. And the mental is, you know, the plane of thinking, of thought, and contemplation. You know, people write journals, they write essays and diaries and blogs, and they contemplate a meditation, and they analyze, you know, the newspaper and the TV set and the people in their lives. And these are all mental activities, as is being aware of everything and mindful of everything around and how you're projecting the self. These are all mental planes, and thinking patterns generate realities. And there might be beings in there also, possibly, that are aware of us and working with our minds of both positive and negative natures of all different types. Okay? And so these three planes are always interacting with the integrated human, the mental, the physical, and the spiritual. And ultimately, I think that the Kabbalion is something that's taught in certain healing and spiritual settings to sort of shift the practitioners in a subtle way, you know, with artificial intelligence today, and they have all kinds of applications nowadays with astrology and astronomy and the occult and religion and visual arts and creativity. And these generate all kinds of thinking patterns. And this too, you know, if you want to go into, whether you want to be a spiritual healer or you want to be a conventional one, these are all parts of modern living. And there are all kinds of people in the world, and people tune into these. These are very popular phone applications and computer programs. And these become part of our minds and our physical and our spiritual too. And there's a reason why they're popular. So thinking on that as a mirror, sort of, it's another intelligence, right? They're projecting our mind into with the phones. And it's looking at us, and we're looking at the intelligence, right? And it's talking to us, and we're talking to it. And Google has AI, you know, you could look at something and you could even see thinking forms if you get the right headset. To see thinking forms. And you could do even searches with your head. So what does it mean? Is that something from something else? Is that eternal? Yeah, back to Mount Sinai. Do they always know what we're thinking and feeling from a higher level and lower level and in between level of other realities? Are they really in there? Have they always really been in there? Has technology always existed, and is it always advancing man and always killing man too? Is it always a two-way street? Is it always a light highway and a, you know, dark country, no light walk that people get lost in? Is it always both? These things might be eternal. And if you start thinking about things in a certain way, everything starts to look like, if you start picking up on higher patterns of understanding and integration and sitting with it, everything from the positive to the negative looks like it might have even existed 1,000 years ago. Even something like walking in a city, like a major world city. If you think about it, how do we know? How do we know in a different energy grid they didn't have one just like the one you're walking in right now 1,000 years ago? It's possible. It might have just been in a different manifestation. They might have even had the same level of applications and cell phones. They might have even had like a somebody like a psychoanalytic, you know, who's thinking in one way versus somebody more in the abstract, like a hermetic initiate thinking in another way. And the students of thought and philosophy might have listened to both, because why not? And so we're in these in-between realities. I think these are in-between realities, and who knows why we're born into them. Because I think it's pretty apparent that there are more advanced and less advanced, and they're always at war. And people are always getting stolen, and that's part of what the problem is in mental health. And there are always people who are more fortunate and less fortunate, and it's not always about good and evil. It's not always about money either. There's something else to it. So these might be eternal. And if you're born into an in-between one, try and stay integrated. and be open-minded, but also be on guard. And, you know, if it's not the best, then try and keep persevering for as long as you know. Nobody knows when they're going to die unless they're given to a reality that they're in a design where they're told when they're going to die. So all man is confronted with this. And that's part of the great mystery, too. And it's sad. But it's also kind of beautiful because lots of people are sharing them. So, you know, just sit with them. And you guys can think on those principles. But see if it affects anything in, like, any vague way in your day or your month or your year. You can even forget about it and go back to it and see if it affected you after a few months. Just even a little bit in something with an invisible sort of reality presence or programmer. And it might. It really might. You might feel like you want to start doing some kind of creative activity or start reading something different or listening to something different, or the reality really might start talking to you a little differently. Okay, so again, it's called The Kabbalion. And you can Google that, and you probably can find a PDF somewhere online for free. If you look up Hermetic and Kabbalion. Okay, y'all, thanks for tuning in tonight. And I hope you have yourselves a great evening. And I recently wrote a song called In the Water. And it goes like this. In the water I saw a mountain. In the water I saw the sky. In the water I saw a lady, and she looked like me.